in any other world. You could tell the difference.
Compelling conversation about stories that matter to you. This is Viewpoints with Todd Vanderhayden on CJAD 800.
And let yourself let go.
Welcome back to the show. Todd Vanderhayden here with you on this February the 9th, Saturday in Montreal. My guest today, Michael Mack. He is an award-winning poet, playwright, performer based in Boston. Here is why he is on the show. He has gone on an extremely brave and courageous journey, a one-man show that is called Conversations with My Molester, Journey of Faith. Michael, when he was 11 years old, was abused by a Roman Catholic priest, and since that time had come up with this idea of eventually having a conversation with the man responsible for this. Michael Mack joins me once again on the line from Boston. So, Michael, explain to my listeners, if you can, how this actually happened. You grew up in North Carolina in the 60s. You actually wanted to grow up to be a priest, interestingly enough. You used the internet to track down your molester. How did that happen? How did that work? Why did you decide to begin to do that, I guess?
Well, as you suggested, it all started when I was 11. I was living in Brevard, North Carolina, a small town in North Carolina, and all my life I had wanted to be a priest. I was raised in the church, and as I saw it, a priest was as close as you could get to God, and that's where I wanted to be. And it was in the spring of 1968 that our pastor invited me to the rectory to help him with what he called a project. And that's where everything changed, and that's where my life took a left turn, and it had a profound influence on me in the years that followed. Even though our family left that town within a few months, it had a profound influence on me, and I imagined for decades one day meeting him again and having a conversation. And in 2005, as the church abuse scandal was exploding all around me here in the Boston area, I got online, got on Google, and I did a search on his name and found, lo and behold, that he was not only still alive, but he was living just a few miles away in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Wow.
And it seemed so providential that I had to follow up, and I took it as this thing that I had been imagining all my life. All I had to do was step up to the plate and make it happen.
So, wow. So what did you do? So you found this man.
Well, I found where he lived. I landed on his doorstep. I knocked on the door to have this conversation.
What went through your mind as you were knocking on that door?
My life's about to change. My life's about to pivot.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I had imagined a million different ways over the last few decades, a million different ways that it might go. But what actually happened was beyond anything that I ever imagined. It was like truth being stranger than fiction. And, yeah.
So he opened that door, and what happened?
Well, this is where I have to beg off, because the show takes a lot of twists and turns. It's
right.
Not unlike a detective story in that way.
Right.
What I will say is that within a couple of years, he died.
Right.
And I actually went to his funeral, and it was the first time that I had been into a Catholic church in decades.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that funeral mass that I remembered how important the church was to me as a child, and how it still resonated in so many ways.
Interesting.
And I, now that this chapter of my life, if you will, was over, I felt like I could begin to return to the church. But there were still a bunch of crazy things that had to happen before that really happened, before I really came back to the church. And what I had to learn along the way is about what I felt like was true outrage about not the abuses that were happening that happened to me, but about the abuses that happened to others. True outrage and true forgiveness. And it was the combination of both of those that I think were essential for my journey, because I absolutely believe in justice. But the question that I have is, where is the justice if after decades, people who were abused as children are still struggling with what was perpetrated upon them? And so it's these two wings of the dove, if you will, that I think are key not only to my journey, but it's something that I want to open the door for others to think about as possible for themselves as well. Both justice and reconciliation, even if the reconciliation is only with ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There are a lot of people. I mean, I can tell you, Michael, right now, between you and me and the folks listening, that this is something that I went through as a child when I was 8, 9 years old. Not a Roman Catholic priest. It was, teenage boys in the neighborhood where I lived at the time. And I cannot imagine seeing these people nowadays. I have a sick feeling even saying this to you right now as I'm talking to you. I mean, it is buried so far deep. It is something that I do not even want to go to, if you know what I mean. And the only reason I'm talking to you about it is because you are, so far ahead of me. You are actually out there on stage. Let me ask you this. How do people react to the show? I mean, when they get up there at the end of the show and they do the Q&A and stuff, I mean, what is the outpouring of sentiment you get from the audience?
Well, I want to answer that in a couple of ways. And the first way I want to answer it, Todd, is by saying that 90% of the people that come to see the show stay for the Q&A.
Interesting.
And that says a lot to me about how they want to, that people are really dying to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because the people that come to my shows because they have some kind of personal connection to this experience. And they are wrestling in their own way with how to reconcile themselves with it. And these Q&As have gone on for quite some length at some times. Again, because people are really invested, and that's what's so meaningful to me.
We've been talking to Michael Mack. And Michael, I want to give you an opportunity to share your website with people who are listening out there where they can get more information. Would you give it out to us?
Sure. It's www.michaelmacklive.com.
Yeah, and that is Michael, obviously, is the same way it sounds, Mack, M-A-C-K, live.com. And when people go to your website, they can see a lot of your work as well, can't they?
Yes.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for making time for me on this show. Obviously, as I was alluding to, this is a topic that's touched me as well. And I really honestly salute your courage for doing this. And I think a lot of people are going to look at what you have done and say to themselves, if he can do it, I can do it. And this is a journey, of course. This is something that we, have on our shoulders our whole lives, but it's a journey that you are already, I think, way down the road on. And thank you so much.
The pleasure was mine, Todd. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for disclosure of your own. And I really appreciate this opportunity, because I think that, the more light that we can bring to this, the more we can bring it out of the secrecy and the darkness, the better it is for all of us.
Absolutely. Michael Mack joining me from Boston. Viewpoints will continue right after this. Stay with us.